welcome to the Minovate Gang podcast for Saturday, October 25th, 2008. We have a very special guest today, Chuck Olson. He's a co-founder of The Uptake, a nonprofit dedicated to training and distributing the work of video-based citizen journalists. And I first stumbled across you, Chuck, when you did Minnesota Stories. And I did not know that it was called one of the best video blogs by the New York Times.
There weren't very many of them, you know, so.
Yeah.
Really, anybody could have gotten that, you know, that title.
I hear you. But, you know, I've been aware of you for a long time, and I just remember this Twisted Santa thing that you did, and we can maybe talk about that. But also on the call is Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
Phil Wilson.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Garrick Van Buren.
Is it morning?
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. Oh, man. Anyway.
But it looks like night's still here in California. It's pitch dark, pitch black.
Yeah, you know, those people out there are always whining about the weather.
It's probably from the fires.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the fires are all out.
Exactly. Well, this is, Chuck, I got to tell you, this is a great treat to be able to chat with you about this stuff, because you are, especially in Minnesota, and I don't want to just limit you to here, but you are somebody that is leveraging social media in ways that, I mean, you are just totally in the game. And I would love to know and have our listeners understand, I mean, how did you get going in all of this? I know you did work with Twin Cities Public Television and so on, but you know, what's your background? I mean, how did you get cranked up in this?
You may want to reserve whether you think it's a real treat until about 55 minutes from now.
All right.
Well, let's see. Should we go back to the Atari 400, or how far back do you?
Yeah. I was born in St. Paul.
I don't know.
How about you start with the Uptick project?
Okay. I'll go back a little farther than that. I guess I'll go back to just briefly, you know, discovering blogs. Which ironically, I actually got interested in blogs from a Pioneer Press article by Julio, which he really I've heard him kind of gloat about that. Like, yeah, Chuck Olson went about blogs from an article that we wrote. So I did the documentary, blogumentary about blogs. And that's when I started video blogging. And that was, you know, that was just so much fun, and it felt like it was so wide open in about, you know, 2003, 2004. And that's around the time I had the idea for Minnesota Stories. I actually originally had the idea for Minnesota Stories as a TV show when I worked at TPT.
Hmm. Okay.
Because everyone had these cheap video cameras. It was sort of the digital video revolution. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if all these people with video cameras, if we could sort of direct them, like this week, everyone go out and you document what's going on in your neighborhood, or everyone go interview your grandparents or parents, to sort of like put together themes from a whole bunch of different perspectives, thinking like, oh, people will send in the tapes and we'll edit together a show. And of course I got sort of like a tepid response from the management at Twin Cities Public Television. Like, that's interesting. Like, you can work an hour a week on it. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's not going to happen. But so, of course, it ended up being a much, much better suited for, you know, for a video blog type of website. I'll just fast forward through all of that to the Uptake. I started doing some political stuff on Minnesota Stories especially in 2006. I did some sort of investigative reports, which were sort of tongue in cheek, but also actually revealing some information about like political ads and political attack websites and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, like, again, like, it was just so new that nobody was really doing political video. I mean, there were a lot of political blogs, but no one was really doing it in video. And it was just pretty easy to have kind of to have an impact with that, just because, like, wow, you know, one video and pretty, you know, it just spread, could spread really quickly because no one else is doing it. And you get mentioned on Almanac by Mariela Hammer and things like that. So that actually, I didn't, the uptake idea wasn't mine. It was Jason Barnett, who's a political organizer.
Yeah, don't know him.
Oh. And he's, it was sort of a peanut butter chocolate situation where it's like, you know, he has all these political organizing skills and he's watching my video and he's like, what if we got together, like got these good video makers together and sort of people like him with organizing skills and sort of made some kind of, you know, almost network, a political network. And especially with the RNC, we knew the RNC was coming to town. Like, we wanted to do something where we could, you know, just empower people to go film stuff and just kind of aggregate it. I mean, it was a very vague idea. Like, yes, there's something here with politics and video and social networking, but we don't know what. And it's morphed, you know, kind of over and over again.
Have you figured out what that thing is yet?
No.
Okay.
It keeps changing. I mean, even right now, we're actually really focused on Minnesota politics between now and the election, which is actually what we got funded to do, was to cover like Minnesota congressional races.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group called America Votes. I should know more about them. It's like a consortium of, I think SDIU is part of it. We have a whole consortium of groups. And we basically made a case, a grant application to them, showing that we could, you know, that we could document Minnesota congressional races, get a lot of issues out there that aren't necessarily getting covered right now. So we got funded basically through the election by this group, mainly to cover Minnesota politics, but we got enough funding for them to have a bare bones staff so that we could do all the other fun things that we wanted to do too, like doing the DNC and the RNC and covering the primaries and things like that. I'll stop talking for a while now.
Well, you know, and I even hate to admit this, but I hadn't gone to the uptake a lot until I started to become aware of what was going on with the raids before the convention, and you were streaming stuff live, and I found myself coming back again and again and again, and then watching the recordings and all of that, and really seeing a perspective that wasn't anywhere else. I mean, I wasn't really seeing anything in the mainstream media other than maybe a photograph or two. And you were there. You were on site and streaming the stuff live through Quick.
Yeah, I felt like that's really when we were doing when we were covering those pre-RNC raids. That's almost the first time I felt like, yes, this is what we were built for. This is the machine. This is what it should be. As soon as we hit the ground in Minneapolis from the DNC, we found out that these raids were going on. We being Noah Kunin and I, and it was really cool because it was a lot of it was happening on Twitter. There were a few Twitter accounts that were sort of in turn aggregating other Twitter accounts that were basically tipping people off that there was something going down, you know, whether it's a raid at a house or a bus got pulled over. So all these incidents were happening quite a lot during that weekend before the RNC. And so then we would basically kind of get dispatched whoever was available would get dispatched to that location, and we would go live with, you know, either with the iPhone or a Nokia N95, which are the two phones that we use to do live video streaming. And it was tough. It was, I mean, oftentimes we would be among the first, or in some cases the only media at that location.
Right.
And even if there was other media there, it was usually we were the only people going there live. It was very immediate. Usually we sort of had definitely at least a different perspective than you were seeing elsewhere. It was really cool.
Well, I also have to give you some accolades over the fact that at the beginning, when I watched the first couple, I felt like I was on a roller coaster upside down, and you got better at holding the, you and I
oh,
guess
yeah.
maybe Noah,
I'm
you
sure it was
much,
sickening.
Yeah. You got much, much better at slowly panning and so on. It was, and it became actually really good. And when you think about this, and you think about the use of this and how Twitter and I'm sure even SMS text messaging is a way to create this immediacy and all of that. I mean, where do you think this is going to go for the uptake with respect to live?
Well, the RMC, I mean, in those rage is obviously a pretty unique situation. Now we use live for most of the time is much less exciting, but still important. It's just like covering debates, and if I'm getting kicked out of Norm Coleman's campaign office, mm-hmm. I might go live then.
just because you can.
just because we can. I guess we're not. We're not really. The potential is there to keep that sort of immediate news gathering sort of skill that we developed during the RNC, but we're not really equipped to do it right now. But the potential is there to almost be like a local news or breaking news type of situation. Right now, our mission is not to do that. It's just concerted to document these debates and basically try to figure out how we're going to be funded after the election, because our funding is going to run out in about a month. So that
if you take a look at the stuff that you guys are covering, what percentage of it do you see also covered by whatever that word is that describes the place that most other people get their news? How do you think that's changed, that percentage?
I would say not more. I'll just throw maybe half of it is, at least in video form. I mean, like I run into Eric Escala all the time for CCO Radio, because he's covers Minnesota politics. He's everywhere. But like with the Minnesota Senate debates, I believe for two of the four debates, we had exclusive video. And definitely for the first Senate debate, we were the only people with video coming out of that in Richfield. And a lot of the smaller races, we go to Chaska for a congressional district debate, Steve Sarvey and John Klein, for example, and there's really a very little media presence. So it's really, that's where I really feel we're having more of an impact, because there's just not, it's not as sexy as the presidential stuff or even the Senate race, but still very important. And it's doesn't really get, just the kind of stuff that really doesn't get more than a soundbite, on the local news. And I sort of think of it as our Minnesota C-SPAN kind of function that we have.
But what a great analogy. Yeah.
Well, I think it's much more exciting than C-SPAN.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so that brings up a question though, because when you were at, when Obama was here at the XL Energy Center, and you were on site. And then when you did the debate with Barclay Coleman and Franken, it was clear that you had much better gear on a tripod. And what was your setup? I mean, how did you do that? Were you streaming over Wi-Fi? Did you have an Ethernet drop? How did you do that?
Well, I know when Obama was at the Excel Center, is that what you're referring to when he accepted the nomination?
Well, there was that, but then also the Senate debate. The only one that I watched partially live and then watched the recording, but you were clearly set up with a camera that was of much higher quality. You weren't doing it with a cell phone camera.
Oh, right. Yeah, our setup for those, I mean, we're kind of trying to work on standardizing it. We have one camera for live, and then we have another camera for tape, although in my case, I'm actually using a hard drive camera, so it's not going to tape. If there's Ethernet or a good Wi-Fi on site, that's our first option. Then we kind of fall back to a Sprint Evdo card, which is definitely in most cases enough bandwidth to get a decent video signal out.
Mm-hmm.
We try to have a few backup plans. Obviously, like using a cell phone would be the last option. But then we use a software called Mogulus, which is kind of a live. It's almost like a TV station in the form of a web app.
Yep, I know that well.
So we use Mogulus, and the audio is often a challenge. The last congressional district, we had pretty bad audio, unfortunately, because sometimes, especially. Some of those smaller kind of debates and things like that, there's not necessarily going to be an audio feed like there is at a sort of a bigger, more professional event. So we're sometimes scrambling to find out how we're going to get good audio. We're trying to get this kind of standardized setup. We send people out in teams because it's really hard to do by yourself to manage two cameras and manage the live feed and all that kind of stuff. Actually, there's more people than that because we usually have someone at home sort of fulfilling a director function with Mogulus, putting up graphics of who, the name of the person speaking and recording the live stream and some of those other kind of details.
And they can do live production switching in there too, right?
Right.
So they can move back and forth between cameras and so on.
Yeah, and we have experimented with that. You can actually, when you're live streaming on a cell phone, we use Quick, and you can pull a Quick stream into Mogulus, and so we have experimented.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, it's not real smooth, but we've experimented with that. Lately we've just been, if we know people have Quick, we've just kind of been putting up different buttons for like, check out this person's camera, check out this person's camera. Cause they don't play together really nicely.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit, check a little bit about perception and your actually on-site presence. Tell me, how is the reaction from those people that you interview, the people around the area? Here's a person that comes up with a small camera or a cell phone camera. Do you find that they react differently or treat you differently than quote unquote mainstream media, whether it's got the boom mic and the big camera and the flashy North Face coats or whatever? Do you find that there's a reaction there's a different perception of you?
Well, I don't think I've ever been behind the giant broadcast camera, so I don't have a complete comparison.
Mm-hmm.
But usually people are pretty eager and friendly. I mean, I guess the nice thing about when you're using a cell phone is people are utterly unintimidated, because it's sort of like they don't necessarily know what's happening, even if you don't explain it to them. But you're like holding up a phone and you're like, I'm with the Uptake, and do you mind if I interview you? And this is, this is actually this live video, like, oh, well, sure. Okay. But there isn't, this sort of equipment barrier that's intimidating. It's just basically you're just talking to the person. There happens to be a cell phone that you're holding up. And depending on where we are, we are starting to get people be like, oh, hey, the uptake is here. Cool.
right.
Yeah, we get some recognition like that, or like, oh, the uptake is here. Don't talk to them. Depending on
depending on the paranoia level.
Right.
yeah, well, tell me how. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, but go ahead and tell me a little bit about how are you treated by the organizations that are your subjects, whether it's a politician or a company or whatever. Do they look at you as just one of those wacky, crazy liberal media guys, or are you perceived and treated as an important news organization, which I think you are?
It really is across the board. I mean, people are still hearing about us, still figuring out who and what we are. So the last debate was the third congressional district debate, and a lot of these debates are put on by Debate Minnesota. And so I'll talk to them like, where do I set up, and like, who are you with? The uptake, like, oh, the uptake. Okay, great. Like they know we've been giving more attention to these debates we've been putting on, and sometimes offering the only video. So I think they sort of look at us like, oh, great, you guys are sort of like, the cool C-SPAN, internet guys. And then it's sort of like the other end of the spectrum is, both me and the Minnesota Independent, we're trying to get into a Senator Coleman press conference and, stopped at the door and told it was for a credentialed press. And I said, well, here's my credential. We are credentialed press. And they said, well, no, it's for legitimate press. I'm like, oh, legitimate press. What's legitimate?
Snap.
Snap. Of course, that's when, we have our cameras out and there was just going to be no happy ending to that situation. And actually at that point too, I don't know if you saw any of that video. At one point, Eric Escala is walking through, and Paul Schmelzer from the Minnesota Independent said, "Eric, like, do you think we're legitimate press?" And he's like, "I have no opinion." And he just kind of kept on walking. So I'm like, "Yeah." So I'm like, I worked on Almanac for 7 years. I think he knows who I am. So we get sort of, again, there are a range of reactions from our big brothers and sisters in traditional media. I interviewed Nick Coleman from the Star Tribune when he came out of that press conference. And historically, actually, Nick Coleman has been sort of like a, you bloggers, get out of my yard kind of guy, because he's been attacked by right-wing bloggers. But he's actually come around, and I told him what happened. He's like, no, you guys should definitely, be in there. You guys are press. You guys should be allowed to document a press conference, So it really depends on, I think, how much people know about us and if they're putting us in an ideological, bucket or not.
Well, I got to tell you it saddens me a little bit to think that you are going to run out of funding in a month and possibly even go away, because one of the questions that I wanted to ask you about was about the vision of Uptake. Because when I first looked at the site, and I also have questions for you about Zanby and about how you guys are using that, because it's really, really well done. But when I first looked at the Uptake, I thought, this is exactly the discussions that I've had with people about what the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press should be doing, which is to basically creating a network, maybe a blog network, but to vet, train, certify trusted people in the network that they could then bring in and have feed video and photos and go out and dispatch and go do stories and so on. And I thought that's where you were going to go.
Well, we do... We do still have the vision of this being a national organization and, a national network. It's just we kind of have to expand and contract, with the funding.
Right. Well, yeah, obviously.
We have a Colorado director. Her name is Corinne. And there was kind of an experiment for us to just, are we able to sort of hire a person in another state and kind of rely on that person to go out and get volunteers and get stories? And then we were able to hire a volunteer coordinator, who, when we went to Colorado or when we're trying to cover, say a presidential debate in New York or Mississippi or Tennessee, her job is to go out and find volunteers in those states, tapping into film schools and looking at blogs and looking at YouTube and things like that, and try to find volunteers to be citizen journalists for us. And that is why, that's really the strength of where Zambi comes in, because you can have these regional groups, and they can kind of be self-organized to a certain extent, as long as you have someone, who's sort of directing it.
Mm-hmm.
The idea there is that people are generating this content and it kind of bubbles up, goes through our editorial process, and that every state or region that's active could have sort of like, here's the Colorado homepage and here's the stories that are of interest to Colorado. And of course, some of those stories would be of national interest and would bubble up to, the homepage of the Uptake, that we would get distributed on our other networks like YouTube and Verassifier and so on.
Yep.
And I think that model is definitely a good one. I've actually had that idea too, or even with Minnesota stories. I have planetstories.org registered, and I've always wanted to essentially sort of take that concept and make it global. That is the vision. We're not going to go away. We're probably just going to have to kind of scale it down. We were around for over a year without any funding, and I think we're able to make an impact and do a lot. Plus now we have the equipment, we have the phones and cameras and things like that. So we're definitely not going to go away. It's just a matter of, we're not really going to be able to expand the vision until we get like a significant funding. Hopefully from perhaps the Knight News Challenger or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Can we segue just into the tech? Because you talked about Quick, and I'd love to know what your experience is on that. But one of the things that I follow you on Twitter, so I see you doing tweets all the time about watch me live or watch this or this is going on and so forth. And then there are some things that are just so esoteric, I have no idea what you're talking about. But at any rate, and then if you could talk about the Zambi platform too, because obviously they're a local success story, and would love to, because you guys have morphed that in a way that I think is really nice.
Sure. I absolutely love Quick, and we've been working with them pretty closely from the moment we knew about them. So we've always known that like the mobile video, especially live mobile video, would be important to citizen journalism. We knew it would be important at the RNC, which of course it was. So they've actually helped us out. All of our iPhones and Nokias are under one account on Quick. That's the Uptake. So basically, if you were to embed the Uptake's Quick player, whenever any one of us goes live, it would go up on that one player. So that's kind of a cool thing they did for us. Unfortunately, we don't have the Twitter notification working for some reason. Whenever you see on my own Twitter feed that I'm going live, I'm actually using Flixwagon, mm-hmm. which is this similar tool. And that's just what I use for when I'm going live for something personal. It's not the Uptake. Right now we had to jailbreak our iPhones in order to use Quick. But it sounds like that they're getting close to releasing it as an official official app.
That's the one that Kevin Rose was showing, right?
That's exactly. That's the one that Kevin Rose was showing. So I'm really excited by that. Just because people ask me what's my favorite iPhone app. I'm like, well, it's Quick. I mean, just the live video streaming thing kind of blows everything else out of the water, just because the functionality is how we've been able to do what we do. So I'm not sure what else to say about it. I think there's a lot of improvements that can be made on it, but even just out of the box is beta software. It's fantastic. It's like the quality is actually a lot better on a Nokia N95 or a Nokia N82.
Because the cameras, are better?
Yeah, the cameras are better. But we even tend to get better frame rates and things like that too. There's actually a better functionality on the Nokia with Quick as well. So I guess that's about all I'll say about Quick. I'm not necessarily the best guy to talk about Danby, but I'll give it a shot. The head of our board is Chris Dykstra, who is also I think he's also the president of Zambi. And we've kind of been guinea pigs for them. The idea has basically been to take, I mean, we're a content site, obviously, and Zambi is a social network really focused on groups. So we're basically trying to kind of to mash together a content site into a social networking site. And it's that concept that I talked about earlier, of being able to have regional groups, but, you know, also with a bunch of social networking features that you would expect, you know, being able to make friends, and you can make events and lists and all kinds of stuff. And we've really just barely begun to tap the surface of the potential of Zambi for what we're doing. It's not really meant, I don't think, for heavy content that we're doing. So we keep on pushing them, you know, we need this, we need to have, you know, better RSS and sort of like a lot of things that we're demanding of Zambi, that, you know, that you might find on a content site that not necessarily wouldn't necessarily find on a social networking site. But I think where that's going, sort of those two things colliding together, could be a really powerful combination. Because even like, you know, in Facebook, you upload a video. It's not really that connected to the network, other than people are notified that you've uploaded a video and you can comment.
Well, see, and that's what fascinates me about this, because when I'm looking right now at the uptake, and you have news groups on the uptake, and there's 1,239 people that are involved in this. And that's why I wanted to ask the question, because when I'm looking at this, it harks back to when I started drinking the Kool-Aid on Civic Space, which was a Drupal product that this group had created. It was one of the guys with Howard Dean when he was running, and they put together this this platform built on Drupal, ostensibly to be able to connect people. And I don't know where it's at right now, but it hasn't continued on. And yet, that's what I assumed was the direction with this, was to find a way to have, you know, the uptake be the primary front end, but that there'd be content that could be fed into it from all of these other people in all these other areas.
Well, this really could be a citizen journalism platform, where the uptake is just one organization, even like other organizations could actually plug into this platform. And again, it could, you know, it could be aggregated in all kinds of different ways. This is Zambi right now is used by different companies that I'm trying to think of the name of the company where if you want to make a t-shirt or a bumper sticker,
Cafe Press. You
know, Cafe Press. Thank you. Cafe Press uses it to sort of like organize like kind of all their different regions and groups and things like that. There's all kinds of different companies that are using Zambi as a way of getting into social networking. And really Chris Dykstra could talk to you a lot more about like the vision for Zambi and where that's going and even how it could be a citizen journalism platform. I can only stand beside you in awe and say, yeah, that's cool. That has a lot of possibilities.
Hey, Chuck, I'm interested in kind of what effect you think the social video will have on the current election. And then kind of if you can think out to 2012, what do you think we're going to be?
Oh, no, it's the future question.
The future, I see.
Rub your crystal ball.
Well, the future is just a week away. I mean, has the uptake and others really had an effect on this current election?
Well, you really need to only our most popular video right now is of Michelle Bachmann, a clip from 2 years ago saying that not all cultures are equal. That's just one example where, you know, I mean, the original thing with her is she said it in Hardball, of course, which millions of people watch, but it's really, you know, it finds its legs in online. And people have been calling this the YouTube election. I think that's true. It hasn't been so much necessarily the gotcha journalism kind of stuff as, you know, if you just look at how many videos people have made about Barack Obama, you know, music videos and everything. It's been a massive, just conversation space. It's a place where people are really engaging in the election, where people feel like they can, kind of directly engage in the elected and the candidates that they're either for or against. I'm not sure about 4 years from now. I guess what we've done is we've just given people a lot more aspects of any given story than they otherwise would have gotten. Certainly in the local stuff, I don't think anyone else has as much video about local politics as we have. So if you're engaged enough to actually seek that out and try to be informed, I think the uptake has been a good tool for that. I'm starting to wander now. I'm not really sure what's going to happen in 4 years. It's obviously already become part, just like blogs were in like 2006, it's just become sort of like a standard part of political campaigning too, that you have to communicate with people it's kind of direct level. I thought it was pretty cool about this, like the CNN YouTube debates, that the candidates actually had to respond to, you know, a guy in a snowman outfit in Minnesota. You know, that's something we hadn't seen before.
Well, you know, speaking of that, I guess one of the things I'd like to end with is, because obviously we're doing Minnesota innovation, and it's not just, you know, creating the technologies that are innovative, but the reason that you're on is the innovative usage and leveraging of all these technologies. When I get together at Mini Demo or Mini Bar, or, you know, the guys on this call, we hang out and we talk and so on, there's this level of people that get it, that are in the game and they're using this stuff and they're on Twitter and what is your experience when you are out and about? Maybe you're hanging with people that are also just like you, really into it, but what are you seeing? Do enough people get how important and what a disruptor the internet truly is, and how this communication, social media technologies are sort of shifting the way that news and information is getting out, for example? What's your experience?
Well, I really like talking to people who are excited by it, like you guys, and who do get it. And I don't put on an evangelist hat too much. I just let people, I feel like it's self-evident that this is where everything is going and this is what's exciting. And if I, you know, if I encounter someone that's just not there, I guess I kind of do a little bit of a soft sell or just, you know, try to like point them in the direction of our website and bring out my iPhone. I'm like, yeah, we can actually go live with that. They're like, what? Really? You can go live with that? And I'm like, yeah, it's pretty neat, you know? But I don't try to just, I think people kind of have to find the path there. As to where it's going. I'm really have not had enough caffeine. I'm not putting two together today.
All right. Well, then I'll ask you one last question. I don't know if anybody else has any other questions, but what happened to Minnesota Stories? There's just a little rectangular logo there. Yeah.
It's coming back. I've been saying that for a while. I was curating that site, you know, basically putting up a new video every weekday. Once the uptake really started ramping up, obviously it took up almost all of my time, between that and my client work. So it just got to the point where I couldn't keep it up. And rather than see it sort of, slowly suffocates and become a really lame site, I just decided to take it down, put it on hiatus for a while. But it's coming back as basically a YouTube for Minnesota. So I've set up, a site that's a video sharing site. And right now I'm trying to customize it the way I want it to look. Trying to get a good video player. Hopefully after the election, it will relaunch. And then like basically anybody can create an account, anybody can upload videos. Before, nobody, it was sort of all going through me, and it was sort of just kind of a curated boutique site. But it's really going to turn into a, you know, full-blown Minnesota video sharing community. I'll still wear that curatorial hat. You know, where I'll feature videos on the front page that I think are cool. And I'm probably also going to do a weekly show on Minnesota Stories. So it's going to come back bigger, better than ever.
Great. Good. Good, good, good. Well, Chuck, this has been great. Thanks for carving out, especially on an early on a Saturday morning, although the sun is finally out now that we're finishing. So it'll be a bright, chipper day. But thanks again. Huh?
Visits the sun. It provides nourishment.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, you know, a chat with Chuck and the sun coming out. Coincidence? I don't know.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Hey, have a great weekend, you guys. Chuck, thank you so much. And thanks, keep Jax. Up the great work.
Enjoy the podcast.
All right. Hey, take care.
Bye. Hey, have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye.